listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 4th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, of course, and also to those joining us on the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And that's especially true in today. Now for tonight...
You had to throw that in there, didn't you?
It's so
a segue. It's a segue.
Absolutely it is.
Having Dr. Kelly with us tonight.
And our topic is... how to cope with election anxiety and stress. And yes, welcome Dr. Kelly. Perfect timing to talk about this.
Hey everybody, I planned it that way. Well, universe did. Good to see everybody, so to speak, and good to be back. Hope everybody's doing good with the COVID-19 and whatnot. And, you know, I figured what topic to, you know, try to come up with a topic of interest each month for myself, and what better timing than to talk about election anxiety and stress, because a lot of people have it. I mean, if not everybody, and that's not just in the United States, it's around the world too. And so I wanted to just offer a few points on how to view this, regardless of who you're voting for or who you're rooting for, it doesn't matter. A lot of people have anxiety over this kind of thing because they see it as the most important election in their lifetime, or perhaps in history, for this country anyway. So I wanted to discuss this and give you some points. You know, last night a lot of people were on the edge of their seats and biting their nails and, you know, sniffing glue and smoking cigarettes and stuff like that, right? That's just kind of a joke.
Drinking hard stuff.
Drinking, yeah, I forgot about that one. So, anyway, so let's talk about stress. And, you know, and these points will apply to any kind of stress and any kind of anxiety. And at the risk of sounding simplistic, I'm going to offer you these different things. But to preface it, I want to offer this. Okay, when we have a problem, it might be stress, it might be anxiety, it might be something else. You know, so often we ask, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And that's not the best question to ask. The best question to ask is, what can I do? Did I get that wrong? We often ask, what do I do? And my question is, what can we do? So we have to look at it as objectively as possible. That's the point I want to make here. What can I do? you know, not what do I do? They're slightly different questions. So what can I do? So when it comes to something you're stressed over, what can you do? I mean, that's getting down to the foundation of it. You need, we need to look at it objectively and with as little as motion as possible, although that's not always possible. So, but we got to try to release the emotion and get the emotion out of it. So what can I do? Well, let's look at the anatomy of stress and anxiety. And I'm going to offer you a piece of wisdom that will eliminate most, if not all, of the stress in your life and the anxiety too. You ready for it? And here it is. Stop trying to change or control things you can't change or control. Stop trying to change or control things that you cannot change or control. Now that, you might be saying, well, hey, thanks a lot for that one, you know, but it's true. That is the foundation. That is why we feel stress and anxiety. When we get angry with somebody, why is that? Because we're trying to change or control somebody that we can't change or control. We get frustrated, same thing. And it doesn't have to be with a person. It can be with a thing, a project, or whatever. We're trying to change or control something that we so far haven't been able to change or control. Now, if it's a project, we can learn and do better. But with people and with events and things like elections and voting and all that stuff, politics, you know, we have very little that we can do to change or control. Obviously, if you vote, you're part of the change that you seek. So that's good. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot. Now, some people will run for office and will try to affect change that way. That's fine. If that's your thing, great. But for most of us who don't do that or who are not in a position to do that, what can we do? Well, we can stop trying to change or control the outcome. So take the election, for example. Regardless of who you're rooting for, you know, you might be feeling some stress. But what can you do about it? Really? What can you do about it? If you voted, that's all you can do about it. And beyond that, there's not a lot any of us can do about it. We just have to see what happens. And so we have to resolve ourselves to that. And this goes for any stress or anxiety in your life. And it takes some self-discipline. You can't just tell yourself this one time and, oh, okay, I got it, good, cool, I'm not stressed anymore. We have to work at it. We have to discipline ourselves, and we have to accept that which we cannot control or change, right? You know the old prayer, right? Serenity prayer. We have to accept that there's things that we cannot change or control. Now, if they're within our realm of changing or controlling without, you know, encroaching on somebody else's rights or boundaries, then fine, do that. But we need to look at it in a more positive light. If we allow stress and anxiety to dominate our lives, are we not allowing the negatives of life to rule us? We are. So if we accept that there are some things we can change, there are some things we can't, there are some things we should change, and there are some things we should not change, especially regarding other people or trying to control them. If we can accept that and make that part of who we are, sound that down into your heart. Make it part of who you are. Make that part of your core values. That I don't try to change or control things I can't change or control. If you do that, it's going to reduce your stress and anxiety remarkably. I want to read a quote by, it's kind of funny, humorous, by a pro baseball player from the 1970s. His name is Mickey Rivers. And he said this, "Ain't no sense worrying about things you got control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense in worrying. And there ain't no sense in worrying about things you ain't got control over, because if you ain't got no control over them, ain't no sense in worrying about them." Doesn't that cover it both ways? You know, it's reasonable. It makes perfect sense. If you can control it, then do it. And stop stressing and fretting and worrying about it. If you can't control it, you can't control it. Stop fretting, worrying, stressing over it. Any comments from Dr. Hunter or Michael? At this point,
yeah, go ahead, Michael. Yeah. It's all yours.
I've been very much enjoying this. If there's anything I needed to talk about, it was how to manage stress during an election. Now, my go-to so far has been Ben and Jerry's. I've been preferable to the Stephen Colbert's American Dream, but I think this is a much healthier approach, because you're absolutely right. When we talk about anxiety and that angst that builds up, it's because you're trying to exert some kind of control, or, you know, you're worrying about something that you have no control over the outcome. We've already cast our vote. The dice have been rolling. We just need to see what the outcome is. And ultimately, whether we sit around being anxious, whether we sit around constantly worrying and fretting, it's not going to change the outcome. And it's only going to hurt ourselves. So this is a good point and a very timely and great topic.
Well, Michael and I have talked about stress in the past number of weeks off and on, and that's why I threw it to Michael, so anybody's wondering. I think, I totally, totally agree, Dr. Kelly. If there's some things I can control. What I think we could throw in here, though, is when you know you're going to be in stressful situations, you arm yourself with your toolbox, you know, and your good skills. One of the first rules of self-defense is run. And then there's other skills for dealing with situations that, you know, are less than favorable. So that's, you can't control them, but you can certainly navigate your way through and manage them to the best of your ability. That's the only thing, a footnote that I would add there.
All right, so let's run this through for a moment. And a lot of people might be saying, yeah, but you know what? Depending on this election or whatever situation is going on, I mean, it could really hurt me. I could be out of a job, or it could really limit my ability to make a living, whatever the situation is, you know, and that causes obviously lots of worry and stress. And I don't care how good you are at this, at not trying to control or change things you can't control or change. If you are in that position where you're out of a job, you have no income, or you're trying to put food on the table, you have a family, pay the bills, you know, look, I don't know if Jesus Christ could do it, okay? I know it's a stressful situation, but if you keep reminding yourself to not go down the negative path, but to keep optimism alive, keep hope alive, keep trying, keep working at it, because especially if you have dependents or people depending on you, you know, you want to keep going in a positive way, in a positive path. Keep searching, keep looking, because something will turn. Something will happen. It always works out one way or another. And, you know, in the decades of my life, there have been times when I've been in a bad pickle, you know, situations, you know, even out of work, or, you know, just alcoholic relationship problems or whatever, been in a bad place and not really sure how it was going to work itself out. In fact, I remember thinking that very thing. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what that pathway is. I can't see it because everything ahead of me is just too cloudy. It's too murky. I don't know how I'm going to get on the other side of this. But at the same time, I told myself, and this helped me, this is what comforted me. Maybe it'll comfort you. But I told myself, look, you may not know how you're going to emerge from this, get on the other side of this, but you will. And in 5 years from now, you'll look back and you'll say, oh, that's how I did it. So you may not be aware of how it's going to all work out at this very moment, but if you continue to strive forward, one foot in front of the other, so to speak, keep working at it, keep moving forward and on a positive path, you will emerge on the other side of it. That's how life works. That's how it goes. But you have to have faith in yourself and faith in the universe that it's going to work out, because it will. And if you continue to put that out to the universe, you know, that visualization, that deliberate intent, you put that out to the universe of where you want to go. Remember to focus on what you want and not on what you don't have. And so often we focus on what we don't have. I don't have a job. I don't have a job. I don't have this. I don't have that. And guess what? The universe says, okay, you want more of that. Okay, good. There you go. You got more of nothing. Instead, deliberate intent for what you want. I want a job. I want this, that, or the other thing, which is going to help. Whatever it is, put that out and continue to visualize, focus on that, and look in your own meditation, in your own mind, visualization, look ahead to the future, fast forward a year or 2 years or 5 years, whatever it is for your situation, and what will you be doing then? Visualize that. That's deliberate intent. You're putting that out to the universe. That's how we work, folks. That's how we humans work. Whatever we visualize will eventually come into being. We'll make it our reality through visualization, through wanting it, through working toward it. It's the secret, right? The law of attraction. If you visualize it and you move that way, eventually you're going to get what you want. It has worked for me 100% of the time through my whole life. Whatever it is, if I want it, feel like I need it, whatever, eventually, one way or another, I get it. Now, it's not always the same period of time, but eventually it always, always works. So keep that in mind too, and don't lose hope. I know times can be stressful, but gosh, you look back over the previous decades. I mean, back in the 70s, I was a teenager and my dad lost a good job, due to no fault of his own. And it was hard for him. He had, three kids, an alcoholic wife. He was the only breadwinner. And he would do whatever he could find to do to make ends meet. And it was hard. I remember having to, I was driving at the time. I remember having to go down and pay the water bill or the electric bill or something, because it was going to be shut off. And it's just trying to juggle everything. And that was hard. Now, it's the same thing now, isn't it? I mean, our parents had a hard time. We have a hard time in various different ways, So they made it. They got through it. We get through it, too, one way or another. And when it comes to the election and all that, we'll get through it, too. Because even if the person you don't want to win does, in fact, win, in 4 years, you'll be past it, right, in the U.S. for elections. We're not going to die from it. It's not going to, the earth's not going to blow up from it. And, I don't want to hear all those things. They'll have the nuclear codes. Come on. We've been through tough times as a nation and as a world. And I mean, when I was a kid in the 60s, we were practicing diving under the desk in case there was a nuclear detonation in Salt Lake City. We all did that. But it never came to be. It's not going to happen. We're going to get through this. But there's an even greater, if we step back from this whole thing a little bit, and we're looking at trees now, let's step back and look at the forest. This is part of our evolution as a human species. If you take a snapshot right now, you may not be able to understand how many people in the U.S. can choose the candidate they chose. Right? You may not understand it. But if you take a snapshot, that's where we are as a human species in our evolution. It's psychologically fascinating to try to understand. This is where we're at. We're evolving. We're growing. We're trying to work through these social issues and so forth. Some people more than others, for sure. But then it comes back to us. How are we going to allow these different things we observe help us to evolve and help us to grow spiritually? Because we can look out and we can see a lot of hate, a lot of people doing harm, a lot of people encroaching on boundaries and disrespecting others and not allowing tolerance, not tolerating other people of different beliefs and different lifestyles and whatnot. We can learn from that, and we remember the principles of belief as metaphysical humanists, right? The first one and foremost one is do no harm, do right. And there's a ton of people out there doing this. So we can take some joy in that, right? Take heart. There are many people out there doing good things, helping other people, and not getting paid for it, paying it forward. Paying it forward is the work that metaphysical humanists do. So how can you pay it forward? Because if you do that, if you're actively involved in trying to help others around you, guess what you don't have time for? Stress and anxiety as much. But if you're sitting there doing nothing and you're just watching the news, well, you're going to get stressed and full of anxiety. So stop that. Instead, ask yourself, how can I help other people? What can I do for my neighbors or for my family or somebody? What can I do to help? You know, there's homeless in every city, right? And there are people helping those homeless folks. What can you do to help them? Can you help cook a meal? Can you donate some shoes or some backpacks or blankets or whatever they need? What can you do? There are people on YouTube who are building these little homeless shelters, and there's a bunch of them. All around the country, they do this. And who told them to do that? They did. They told themselves to do it because they wanted to give back. They wanted to help. They wanted to do right and do no harm. So what can we do in our lives to further that concept of paying it forward and thus do no harm and do right? Any comments?
With you all the way.
Good.
And, you know, just in finding those opportunities, if you do have some of that tension, that angst and stress, you'll see it melt away as you kind of put that energy back into something more productive.
Mm-hmm. There's comments in the chat room, you know, in addition to shoes and backpacks and blankets, socks, feminine hygiene products. I gave some wipes, too. I'm sure those come in handy. But there's a lot of things like that. So, folks, to sum it all up, to feel less stress and anxiety, stop trying to change or control things you can't control or change. Take your focus and put it on something positive and upbuilding and encouraging for others, such as pay it forward work. Do those things. And, you know, if you have to, back away from the news. You don't need to hang on it. If it's disrupting your life, move away from it, because the world will still continue on and you can return to it at any time. So I hope that these thoughts have at least been encouraging and helpful. And above all, don't lose hope. We're going to get past anything that's thrown at us, because that's what we do in this, the human spirit, right? Mm-hmm. It survives and does everything. I mean, it outlives everything. The human spirit, indomitable power of the human spirit. That's what we are. So take hope, take heart, and thanks.
Well, I think that I appreciate everything that you said, Dr. Kelly, and absolutely. And we all need those reminders. And I know I sound like a broken record saying this, but a little bit of gratitude can go a long way.
That, absolutely. Good point.
When we're fearful and we aren't sure what's going on, and you have the wherewithal, if you have shelter and food and you have friends and some family members, you're okay today. You really are, no matter what else is going on. And that's not to say you don't face challenges, but as Dr. Kelly says, you know, go do something else for a while. And for me, it's art. I have a sewing project or a painting project, anything that allows me to be in a meditative, creative space. And although I'm the first one who can sit and do nothing, I tell you, but I like to have something to show for my time very often. So, yeah, I can walk by that painting and say I did that with that amount of time. And it makes me feel a little bit useful, you know, and and finding those ways that you de-stress for yourself. And if you are, now I'd have to add this, if you are somebody who, even the students in the school or friends of students in the school, if you're having a bit of a hard time and you are one of those people, you know, who's struggling with a job or finances, or you're not sure where you're going to live tomorrow because you couldn't pay the rent, reach out. And I know that's another one of those cliche things, because you have to suck up your pride and your ego takes a beating.
Yeah.
And it's hard stuff to say, I need help. And that's the flip side of all of this, that when you have reached the end of that place where you say, I can't do this by myself anymore, there are always people around who are willing to give a hand. And if there aren't those people in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. So that's what I would say to that. And, you know, if you have a family that's not necessarily really supportive of one another, then you can build an extended family. And Dr. Kelly, Michael, and I know about extended families very well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It can be difficult to show that vulnerability, to look for help, to reach out there. But you should have a network of people around you that you can be safe in showing that vulnerability to, that you can say we need help from. And if you don't, just like Dr. Hunter said, you need to expand your network, find new people, because they are out there.
They are. Absolutely. So de-stressing. Yeah. It's okay. Worry about things. Okay. It's being creative about solutions and options. But hey, sometimes you know what? We just need 10 minutes to wallow in crap.
Oh, sure. When you get to feel the feelings and experience it, because there's nothing wrong with feeling those emotions. So they have every right to exist, every validity, because it's part of the human experience. But don't necessarily dwell in it. One thing I try to do is to put things into context, and I love history, so I try to put it into historic context, not to detract from any challenges that we as a people face today, because there are many, but we have, as a species, been through much, much harder times in our past history, and for all intents and purposes, in this era, it is better to be alive as a human being than any era prior. And that's almost universally global. The poverty is coming down globally. It's not zero, and it's not as low as it should be, considering the vast resources we have. But we're going in the right direction. Things are getting better. And just to put that into context of the difficulties that our ancestors had to go through on a regular basis of just daily survival, of dealing with sometimes a monarchy where you have to depend on the whims of a sociopath at times. We don't have to deal with that necessarily, fingers crossed. And it's just good to take stock of what is going right as well as what, the challenges we face are.
I have to say, I'm totally with you, Michael. I have to say there's quite conversations going on in the chat, and Fran has said music, listening to music.
Yes.
Thing. And
Marvin Gaye, very much.
How she listened to Marvin Gaye, the Spinners, OJs, and I got to tell you, Fran, I had a flashback because every morning now I go to AccuRadio online, and I like AccuRadio, and I listen to 60s music every morning now. That's where I kind of go, start out my day with my happy place. I don't listen to the news. I don't listen to the radio. I just go right into the music, and I figure, okay, I need time for this, because there'll be plenty of time for the other. So every morning, that's that. And obviously, Fran says she does it every night. Or, it's they find those ways. So I appreciate the de-stressing, anxiety conversation tonight as well. And people sitting on the edges of their seats. And there's going to be changes. But we got this.
We do.
We got this. Yeah.
We're going to make it. We're going to get through it one way or another, because the world will continue to spin and life goes on.
So, and thank you to Dr. Kelly for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's about that time. You might hear me shuffling some cards up here, Michael.
When we hear the inner oracle and tarot card shuffling, we know what time of night it is.
Yes. Oh, Frances, I feel like playing Nina Simone every day, feeling good. That's my favorite song. And nobody does it like Nina Simone. Man, I am such a Nina Simone fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, another Sinner Man, too. That was a...
Yes. Oh, exciting.
But, all right.
I love those things. Okay, so I think, if I have this right, we got names popping up here.
We do?
We're starting out with Jamil.
All right. And I have, this is perfect, what we were talking about. Number 29, pay it forward. Kind of the epitome of doing right. All right, number 29. Let's see. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward. Without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay forward right now?
Well, Jamil, in support of that, I have the Ace of Diamonds, Ace of Pentacles in tarot language. And pay it forward. I don't think this is just so much as paying forward money as it is to understand value for value. Sometimes that's energy rather than the value of dollars. But I also want to say that it could be you feel that someone hasn't paid forward to you or given back. So to me, again, we're back to the value for value. And I don't know why I say this. It's like once you've loaned a hand to somebody several times and there's nothing reciprocated, sometimes you just have to back up a little bit, you know, and say, okay, especially if there's no thank you that's added to it. So, yes, I believe you absolutely lend a hand when you can, and I have no doubt of that. But it's just sometimes we have to take inventory of how that works, because it's maybe not just about money, as the Ace of Diamonds is saying here. So I hope that makes sense to you. We have Dr. Darlene up next, Michael.
All right. And I have number 44, attitude and disposition.
All right.
So Dr. Darlene, attitude and disposition, enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? Can-do attitude makes it happen.
Darlene, there's a rebirthing going on, and don't take this a wrong way or negative way at all, but I pulled the Death card to that. So I see that as a rebirth. It's like a shift of consciousness, and sometimes it's really profound. So attitude and disposition, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody visited you in the middle of the night or something. But it's this a metamorphosis of some type. So letting go of old ideas, things you might have believed or held on to, and now that there's some new ideas coming. So there's a rebirthing in that, and you feel so much relief, you know, and better comfort with yourself. So I think my sense is you're already in the process of that, and so I hope that makes sense to you too. So keep going exactly as you are, because there's a new day around the corner.
Very nice. Very nice. All right.
Wendy. How about Wendy next, Michael?
And for Wendy, I have number 19, invoke the counselor within.
Ooh.
Let's see. Number 19. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Well, the Six of Spades is there, Wendy, in support of invoking your inner counselor. And it might feel like a little bit bumpy right now, but you're staying true to yourself and you see the destination. So again, you might feel like you have all the pressure at the moment. People may not be giving you really good advice, or certainly not advice that you like very much, because you're on a different wavelength. And so I think what I'm feeling here is stay on course, even though you feel that pressure. Stay on course. I really do feel like you're like crossing the river, and you can see the daylight at the other side. So even if other people can't see it. So I hope that makes sense to you. So keep going. Trust yourself.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Dr. Vinicio.
All right. So for Dr. Vinicio, I have number 42, trust and integrity. Mm. All right. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Whoa, this is really powerful. I got the two of hearts. So along with trust and integrity, the two of hearts means to me a joining the integrity of how to connect, even if it's with yourself, having a newfound relationship with yourself. But I'm going to say in perhaps other relationships with others outside yourself, reviewing that, renewing kind of how you regard that, and really giving some heartfelt thought into making commitments. And I want to say recommitting yourself. So I really like that. That, again, it's another rite of passage, but one of relationships and being true to you. So being more truthful with yourself and getting to the bottom of it. So I like that. I really do.
Very good.
Dr. Edward, I think, if I have this right, is next. Mm-hmm.
And for Dr. Edward, I pulled wild card number 8, freedom.
Okay, I love that.
I think it's been a little while since we pulled this one.
Yes.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
I got the King of Diamonds on that word, Edward. And really it's about in support of the Freedom card, which I just love that card, this is about reviewing your independence, reviewing your autonomy in a way in the physical world. And my sense here, and the picture I get with this, is maybe just doing a little bit of juggling of finances or, you know, income and straightening it out, and there's more on the way. So that's, to me, really positive. So I think you're in a bit of a, you know, feeling more secure, if I can say that, and reorganizing things. So good for you. It gives more freedom. Okay, we have Fran up next. Hi, Fran. Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I am, but I was on mute. I had to clear my throat, and I forgot to unmute it. But, Fran, I have wild card number 2, and then some.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Oh, Fran, I just pulled the first card of the tarot, the Fool. I love the Fool. I do, because it's innovative ideas, new beginnings. It's adventurous, a little fickle, but fickle is fun. Of course, the flip side of that is sometimes going off the edge of the cliff too quick if you don't know better. But the thing with wisdom, and you have that at this time in your life, you know, being insightful and willing to stretch yourself. So the and then some is what beginnings are now, and that what start points are, you know. So I know you can look at the summary of life, but every day is a new start point, and that's what I feel is even in the last maybe few hours, because I had a conversation with a friend today, so it was great. So that's why I can say that. It's like, what's next? It's the what's next. And I feel really excited about this, because there's a little adventuring here and stepping out of the comfort zone and making it fun. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Very nice. All right.
I think the last name on our list, catch me if I'm wrong here, Michael, but it's Audra.
I think you're correct. And so as we're going over this card, if there is anybody else that we missed or would like a card, throw your name in. But for Audra, I pulled number 15, Belief System and Knowledge Base.
Mm.
We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
I got the world. Well,
very
you
interesting.
Got the world. You got the world, Audra. So all the elements are in line. All the elements have lined up. And what is it that you believe in? And what do you see in the world for yourself? This is what I think, that there's a little bit of reconstruction in your thinking, maybe, and what you do in the belief systems. And maybe where you weren't believing in yourself before, you're believing in yourself more now. That's where I want to go with that for you, Audra. So all the doorways are open, and you are applying yourself, but you can think more bigger and further now and dare to do that because you're capable. And I don't know why I want to say this to you. I want to give you a little bit of an affirmation. Say to yourself, you know what? I am a really smart girl, and I am willing to learn. Whoa, and your whole energy changes. So all the power to you. I love that energy force for you. So
very nice.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else that we might have overlooked here? Oh, thanks for the feedback, everybody. You know,
always nice to hear.
I appreciate very much people doing that. I've said before, I'll say it again, I have no idea what I'm saying when I say it. It's absolute trust in that moment to relax into the energy of connecting with your name, connecting with your frequency, and just whatever comes to my psyche. And Audra's saying she'll pay attention to opportunities. She's been learning a lot of new things at work, and she's been feeling pretty dumb, actually. See, that's what I mean. Thanks for saying that spot on. You're a smart girl, Audra. Mm-hmm. You got this. And we have the same middle name, so you're double smart.
There you go. You're in good company.
Audra Lynn.
You know, so. Very often, I have to agree, sometimes I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying either. I'll just start a sentence, and I hope that somehow by the end of that sentence, it all comes together. So,
that's trusting the intuition, and when you go on a feel, and you can trust that you have some measure of intelligence, you're also trusting when you have to back up and say, whoa, I don't know about this, right?
Yeah.
So, and to be able to say, I don't know. This one's got me. And by the way, Fran just gave us a really good compliment. She said, you two have potent energy when reading together.
Oh, thank you.
We do, Michael. We're a good team.
We are.
Yeah.
I would say perhaps even a dynamic duo.
Ooh. I need a cape.
I don't want to be Robin. I'm not going to be Robin.
Well, I could be Robinette. I could be Batgirl. I don't know. I love superheroes. You know, I was reading an article not long ago that psychologists have decided, I don't know how they came up with this, but that people who like science fiction and superheroes are people looking to escape reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, duh.
That's the whole point. If they're infused with reality, who'd want to pay attention to that?
You know, I want to tell everybody about a little story, if I may. We just have a minute. But on my birthday, my kids showed up with this big, you know, they really did. They all dressed up in 80s kind of stuff, and they had a little show going on, and they made this massive $1 million Publishers Clearinghouse check for me. And so we had a great blast. It was fun. And but we found out in another Mandela effect that apparently Ed McMahon had nothing to do with Publishers Clearinghouse. And I'm going, that can't be true, because I remember those commercials. I remember those things. You know, and I think we're all being Googled somehow, because I went on Google, and Ed McMahon had nothing to do with Publishers Clearinghouse. So I figured, you know what, we're all in different realities, and I like mine. I'll stick with mine.
Well, sometimes I just wonder if I didn't just transition into an entire new reality where different things are possible and different things exist as truth. You know, sometimes I'm like, I was certain that that thing over there, that didn't happen in the other reality. I was certain it didn't. But, and
I know.
Yeah, Wendy, in the reference to the superhero things, is referencing us, saying Wonder Twins activate. That is a blast from the past.
Well, I'll take it.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's been a great program again.
It has.
Thanks to Dr. Kelly for coming on. And
it goes by quickly, doesn't it?
You know, we're evolving here also, and there's always a lot to talk about, a lot to pursue in conversations, discussions, and learning. And we've evolved into working on lightening it up a bit, and I appreciate that. It's easier on myself and how I like to conduct my life, but it's, you know, Fran and I did talk today about how getting older is freedom. And so if I can impart anything on this side of 65 now, is find the freedom in yourself, you know, mm-hmm. and just be yourself, and don't sweat the small stuff, because it will sweat out all by itself.
Ah. Very well said. Very well said. So very timely topic tonight. You know, I think it was designed just for me. So thank you all for coming along for the ride, and I appreciate always your discussion, your insights, Dr. Hunter. And, you know, we've been talking about some topics. I think we were going over a few. How about next week we tackle the idea of how to manage isolation and quarantine? I know we've been talking about that not too long
ago. That's a good one.
I mean,
like that. Let's do that one next
all
week.
All right. We're seeing a little uptick in cases. You know, some people are probably staying in a little bit more often, not to mention the new world we're living in. So, all right. So please join us next week. And, of course, again, thank you to everybody that joins us live. Thank you for participating in the chat. It's become wonderful to get to know you. It adds to our dynamic. It adds to our discussion. New ideas. So thank you for being with us. Thank you to those that listen in the archives as well. Sometimes we know it's just a scheduling thing, and you have to listen to it when you can, but we appreciate you as well. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.